and welcome to Dak and Rick's Pod. I'm Dak.
And I'm Rick.
And this is a father-son podcast where we talk about all things sports. And today, we are finally back after a long hiatus after Thanksgiving football. We're hopefully back on a more consistent schedule. 2023 finally is going to be the year, I think, where we take this podcast to that next level as we hope to grow it a little bit differently in terms of, as much as it's a father-son podcast, bringing on guests and talking about their stories and seeing how eventually we grow this brand into the Miami Sports Podcast. But anyways, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. It's good to be back. I'm excited for what this year holds for us and this podcast. And I'm looking forward to bringing on guests. I think it's going to bring another dimension to what we're trying to do here and give the audience, you know, what they want to hear.
Yeah, hopefully we're able to get some father-son duos on and make it, you know, that's our little niche in comparison to the rest of the podcasts out there, because there's a lot of different people doing a lot of different things, and hopefully we're able to do that. But who knows? Maybe we'll just end up bringing on players, and that's the end of the story.
Well, no, well, at least we know that one of them is definitely going to be an exciting father-son team.
Well, we don't want to spoil it too soon.
We're not going to let everyone know. We just want to let them know that stand by.
Yeah, hopefully we'll get that done within this month, and hopefully we'll be a little bit more consistent, because there's a lot of news going on. As this week, I thought it was the perfect week to come back, as there was the NBA trade deadline. Miami, the University of Miami, defeated Duke in basketball, and of course, the Super Bowl.
A lot of stuff going on. Yeah, let's talk a little bit about the draft.
What draft?
Not the draft, I'm sorry.
You mean the trade deadline.
The trade deadline. All right,
so,
I'm sorry.
Of course, you know, Pat Riley fell asleep at the wheel. What do you have to say about that?
Well, I don't know if he fell asleep. I don't know what the plans are, but talk to me about all the others. I mean, what were there, 27 teams?
Yes, 27 out of the 30.
And the Miami only did nothing?
Well, Miami technically did make a trade. It was a trade. 27 out of the 30 teams made a trade to acquire a player. Miami did not. And the two teams,
we got rid of Dedmon.
We did get rid of Dwayne Dedmon. And if I was close enough to the roadcaster where we have all the sound bites, I would click the clapping one. So just imagine clapping. There you go. But ultimately, Dedmon needed to go. I think we all knew it. Even he knew it. You know, after that therapeutic gun getting thrown on the court, that's not how the Heat roll. And I think we all knew he would be gone. And hopefully that opens up the Heat to get some people in the buyout market. Supposedly today, Jimmy Butler's having a meeting with Pat Riley. And we can see how maybe that's like they're building like a war room and trying to figure out which guy they want. Do they want Russell Westbrook? Do they want Patrick Beverley? Do they want to try to go get a center? It all depends. You know, you constantly talk about Orlando Robinson, how he's not cutting it. He has the potential, but
right. I think he's young. I think he's, you know, he's been thrown out there just because I think we don't have anyone.
Have no one.
Our backup is injured. When is he coming back?
Yurtseven should be back by the time the All-Star break is over. So that would be not next week, because next week is the All-Star break on Sunday. So then he would be back like Wednesday-ish,
well,
in 2 weeks.
And see, that's the issue. We threw in, Robinson in there. And I think he has potential, but he's very young. It seems to me that he still hasn't had the physical ability, he's big. He might be even strong, but I don't think he has a physical.
You say that he's very uncoordinated. Yeah, he doesn't. That's what you like to say during the game.
Because I see, he doesn't have that yet. I'm not saying he can't get it. I'm not saying with more practice, with more experience, obviously he's going to get better, we hope. But right now, it's not what it is. And you know, I don't understand. You know, Pat Riley's always talking about the big whale. Well, you know, I don't know what his plans are. Obviously, and we all know that he was an incredible coach. He's an incredible basketball figure throughout, you know, NBA basketball and beyond. I mean, come on, we got to give him a lot of credit. However, he wants a big whale, yet I don't hear anything going on. And I heard that.
Durant was on the market. Right. Kyrie Irving was on the market, to name smaller names, I guess you could say. Someone they really wanted, like Jay Crowder, was on the market. You know,
but I mean,
Heat didn't have the assets to get any of them.
Well,
which is why, in my opinion, as much as I love Jimmy Butler, you should have sold high on him, Max Strus, Gabe Vincent. Realistically, this team, with a team like Phoenix, which we'll talk about in a minute when we talk about the general NBA, but now having Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, Chris Paul, and DeAndre Ayton, you know, the Heat have what? Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo. As you know, what, we got to give Bam his props. He's shown up big time. And then Tyler Herro, whenever he decides to show up, like last night against the Rockets, well, last night for us, which is just the timestamp, the video, February 11th, so February 10th against the Rockets, Tyler Herro had 31 points. And I'll pull up the rest of the stats from that game. He had 31 points, and he led the team with 8 assists. But Tyler Herro doesn't do that every night, too. And if he did that every night, he would warrant his contract, and it would be this team would be rolling. But they're not.
You know, and I don't know also why we have these nail biters. You know, oh, you know, they're tied. There's 3 seconds left before, boom, we win. You know, what is that? I mean, the Rockets aren't supposed to be.
No, the Rockets are the worst team in the NBA. And you know, it took a masterclass from right. Tyler Herro and Bam Adebayo. 31 points, 8 assists, 9 rebounds from Tyler. Bam, 20 points, 8 rebounds. And Jimmy deciding, okay, the fourth quarter, I need to show up and score like 12 points in the fourth quarter. It might not have been 12, but something around the line. And get that amazing game winner.
But the bottom line is he's always trying to carry the team. And, you know, we can't put all the burden on his shoulders all the time. You know, we really need to get other players that really show, like you say, show up. I mean, you know, we have Oladipo sitting on the sidelines. Okay? We have Duncan recuperating from his hand surgery. Or
Jovic is recuperating.
You know what I mean?
And also Yurtsevin still. And so, look, there still are people that are coming back. And, look, supposedly Kyle Lowry is now... It went from he'll be out 2 to 3 games magically around the trade deadline to now he's out indefinitely with the expectation that he'll be back. You know, Jimmy seems very happy about keeping him because in the press conference when they were asking him questions, he says under his breath, he's not going anywhere. So it has to mean that the bridge couldn't have been that damaged, but the bridge between the Heat and Kyle Lowry, because I thought it was a point of no return where they need to trade him, but it seems like it's not that bad. Because he's coming.
But is that good for the Heat? That's the bottom line.
Well, look,
if
he's out for the next 27 games, think about it. You know, you'd hope that by the time the playoffs come around, when he's fully healthy, you know, you're sitting out 27 games. The season ends in April, in the beginning of April.
But also, this is a team effort here. Is that good to have someone sitting out 27 games and just popping up at the last minute?
Well, maybe he wouldn't be the starter, but he'd come off the bench.
Well, but you need to have coordination with the other players. You need
They've been working for 2 years now.
But you get rusty. You know, you're off. You know, well, it's not okay, like getting back on the bicycle.
Well,
you know
true.
I mean? You're out for 27 games. It's a lot of games.
But he might be out those 27 games, but he might also go to practice eventually as we start getting closer, like, you know, 15 games into his little break that he's taking for whatever reason, he starts going to practice again, and maybe he'll play the last 5 or 6 games of the season. But I don't know. A healthy Kyle Lowry, if he turns back the clock, which, remember, the playoffs are, you need to win 16 games, no matter how you win them. You could win 16 straight games, and you're the champion, as long as you make it there, which right now the Heat are pretty much on track to do. The Heat are right now at the 6th seed. The Nets are bound to fall backwards without KD and Kyrie. We'll talk about that in a minute. You know, the Celtics are where they're at. They're number one. Then they will be number one more than likely. Philly, I believe, is number two. Is it Philly? I'm going to look now. So, no, the Bucks are number two. Philly's number three. The Cavs are four. Those four are pretty much locks. But even though the Heat have 31 wins, the Cavs have 36. So, you know, that's not too far of a difference. The Heat hold a 2-game cushion against the Knicks because they've lost 2 more games, although they've only won 1 less game. So I think it's like 2.5 games is what that's called. Let's see. Is that here? No, it's not here on what I'm looking at. But, you know, the East is wide open in terms of, realistically, the Celtics got better because they got older and more experienced. But realistically, they didn't make any big major move. They didn't get Kevin Durant. They didn't get Kyrie Irving. They didn't want Kyrie Irving. But you get what I'm saying. They didn't get the whales out there. It's still just Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, which realistically, the Heat took to Jimmy Butler missing a shot is the only reason why we lose to them last year. Right. People love to think that the Celtics team is the next coming of God, but if this Heat team is so bad as everyone says they are, then the Celtics can't be that good either, because how do you almost lose to the Jimmy Butler Heat that's only Jimmy Butler, according to every single media person and every single personality that's out there? Because remember, Kyle Lowry, extremely hurt during that series. Tyler Herro, I don't even think he played. Because he was out.
Yeah.
But the Heat are terrible, and the Celtics are the next coming of God. That's all I want to say about that.
Well, let's go back to Pat Riley. I don't know what he has up his sleeve. I don't know what Mickey Arison have up their sleeve. I don't know what you know, what they're doing. I don't know. You know, there's a lot of I don't knows because I really don't know.
Well, Let's see who they get. Let's see who they get in the buyout market. There's a lot of players who are coming up, and more than likely it's looking like it's going to be a point guard since it's point guard heavy. You have Russell Westbrook out there leaning towards Chicago is what the rumor is, but he's also picking between Miami and Chicago. And you know, Pat Riley supposedly throws out those rings and people love coming. So that could be the whale. Could you imagine getting Russell Westbrook? Although he's not the same player he used to be.
Right.
Could you imagine he turns back the clock in Miami? Less pressure. Well, but not I mean, playing with LeBron. LeBron, because remember, the LeBron expectation was this guy needs to become the third guy.
Right.
Where in Miami, he'd be like the fifth guy. Because most Miami fans would expect more out of Oladipo than they would expect out of him. So it would be, he'd probably be like the sixth guy. Because it would be Jimmy, Bam, Kyle, I guess is what you expect to be your third since he's paid like your third. Tyler, Oladipo, then him. He wouldn't even be like, he would be an afterthought.
Well, you know, I don't know if we can acquire, you know, these so-called stars and expect them to be afterthoughts. We need to acquire them.
But you have to remember, sure he is an afterthought right now.
No, then you know, that's not definitely not a whale.
Well, it is compared to what you could go get. What are you going to get? A Bouye, the guy that we got from the G League?
Well, right now, he's the whale. That's a bad way of categorizing. I think he's a very good player, possibly, that has a lot of potential. If he's healthy, that has a lot of potential under the right circumstances, under the right coaching, under the right staff. But the reality is...
Miami has all of that.
He's not right. So he's a very good player. I don't want to say a whale. A whale is the KDs.
Wait. I think there has been a movement on that. Keep talking, because I've just heard someone say that Russell Westbrook... I can't confirm this because there's no major media that says that he's gone, but supposedly someone says rest in peace to that idea. So
is there breaking news here or what?
Nah, I don't know. Give me a second. That's not breaking news yet. So keep talking. Let me see before I say anything. Go. Keep talking about it.
There's not really a lot to talk about. The bottom line is that, you know, we need help. And obviously, it's unfortunate that we have a number of our players that are decent players. I'm not going to say they're whales. I'm not going to say they're
the best. No, it's a false alarm. There's no breaking news. So,
but there's a number of our players that are injured. But, you know, we really, you know, Pat Riley and Spoelstra and the organization.
Look, they
really
claim that these next 27 games are what they want to see and that they can make a deep playoff run. And to be honest, I believe it.
Okay, so they're going to get into the playoffs. Are they going to win?
I said that's deep the bottom playoff line. Run. Well, they believe that. And I believe it too, just because of the one fact, you need to win 16 games. Jimmy Butler has shown us the last 3 years. And do I think this is great for his career? No. But, you know, he's shown us the last 3 years. If he turns it on, because the year that they were in the bubble.
But he can't be the only one turning it on. And the bottom line is, Bam has
become a significantly better player than when they were there last year.
I understand, but look what happened last night. Look what happened last night. You have the Rockets.
Yeah, no, disappointment.
Yeah. You know, and we have to go into the 3 seconds, the final 3 seconds of the game to make a crazy, wild, incredibly beautiful.
Yeah.
It was a beautiful.
You know that it was drawn up in 2020 in the bubble, and they used it now today. Oh, wow. It was the first time they used it in that scenario.
And all the credit in the world to
it was Chris Quinn, the assistant coach, who came up with that.
Let me tell you, all the credit in the world to the way they executed it last night. That was beautiful. I kept seeing clips of it, and it was just. Beautiful the pass Gabe Vincent. I mean, he was on target the whole play. If you watch the whole play, you know, it was a beautiful scenario. I mean, I haven't seen something so nice in a while.
Well, you know, at the end of the day, we can talk about the Heat all day, but until they make that big move for the next guy, right now it's just a lot of speculation, a lot of hope and prayers that they're able to figure it out. So I think we should talk a little bit more about the NBA in general. The state of the NBA has just been changed dramatically.
Why is that?
After Kevin Durant got traded, after D'Angelo Russell got traded, after Kyrie Irving got traded. We can first talk about Kyrie, because I know you were very vocal about him not coming to Miami. And I was very vocal about, although the human being of Kyrie Irving has his flaws that we do not condone or don't want anything to do with. I don't think any player, team, anyone, teammate wants to deal with the person of Kyrie Irving. But we can't not underlook the fact that he is an all-time great. And you know, whether you like him or not personally.
He's an excellent player, no doubt about it. I mean, the way he dribbles the ball, the way he takes it, you know, to the rim. I mean, he's just.
But Mark Cuban got his guy, and they're working so far.
Well, you know, with the
working it's also been 3 games. I mean, yes, come on, yes, like, give me you a know, break.
But the reality is, I don't think he was a good fit for the Miami Heat. You know, I'm not saying he's not an excellent player. I just don't think he was a good fit for the Miami Heat. The Miami Heat doesn't need to acquire people that have potential of giving them more headaches and being out and not wanting to play and giving the other team players more angst. You know, we don't need that. What we need now is we need good, solid players that can help move this team forward so that when we play teams like the Rocket, and I don't mean to get on their case, but when we play teams like that, we don't have to sit there waiting for the fourth quarter, the last 3 seconds to see whether or not we're going to be able to win. We don't need to have that type of team. That's not what the Heat is all about. The Heat should be able to...
Yeah, but Kyrie Irving would have completely moved that needle and you wouldn't have had that issue.
Absolutely, but that's if he's...
If he chooses to show up to work, that's the only thing.
If he shows up, if he doesn't cause more grief,
that's a fair point.
If he decides to make comments, if, you know, how is he going to get along with the players in the locker room? I mean, that's critical. This is a team sport. How is he going to get along with them? I mean, I have no idea. How is he going to get along with the coaches, with the executive staff? I have no idea. His track record, the little bit that I know, just like everybody else listening from reading the papers, listening to ESPN, listening to all the, you know, the pundits, is, you know, it's his track record in that regard, his personality doesn't seem to be, you know,
well, look,
something that's
Mark Cuban,
positive.
Mark Cuban has a lot of trust because he traded away not only two very good players in Spencer Dinwiddie and Dorian Finney-Smith, he also traded away a 2029 first-round pick and a 2027 and 2029 second-round pick, which doesn't sound like a lot for a big player like Kyrie, but think about it. 2029, Luka Doncic is no longer guaranteed to be under contract there in Dallas. That could be a big pick. If Luka leaves and Kyrie leaves, that could be the first overall pick given to Brooklyn.
That's true.
Where, you know, right now it looks like Brooklyn got swindled. Well, I don't know. They really wanted to get out of Kyrie. They really wanted to get him off the books and not deal with him. So you know what? Maybe they won for themselves because they chose to make that move. And there were supposedly better deals by the Lakers, but the owner really wanted to screw over Kyrie and not let him go to the destination he wanted to go to. Where instead he took a lesser deal for Kevin Durant to let Durant go to the place he wanted to go to. Supposedly. At the end of the day, we'll never truly know because neither you nor I are in any of those conversations or in any of those circles, but that's what's being said around town.
Right. Exactly.
But talking about the other guy, let's talk about Kevin Durant.
Wow.
And how when LeBron finally thought he found his third piece to help him in D'Angelo Russell, Kevin Durant said, no, slow down, buddy. I'm going to go to already established team and screw you over in your own conference. As Kevin Durant moves to the Phoenix Suns for Mikal Bridges, Cam Johnson, Jay Crowder, 4 first round picks, a pick swap and a pick swap. There's in 2028, but I don't know if it's a first rounder or not, as well as for Brooklyn gave up Durant and TJ Warren. And for context, Jay Crowder got flipped for 5 second round picks to Milwaukee.
Wow.
So they got in total 4 first round picks unprotected, 1 pick swap, and 5 second round picks from this trade. Oh, and on top of that, Mikal Bridges is a very good young player and Cam Johnson as well. That's for true. Kevin Durant.
Right.
Big haul. But it might just be too little because at the end of the day, a talent like Durant doesn't come around every day.
No, I mean, that's very evident. That's the truth. And, you know, those players are, you know, what do we say? Once in a lifetime scenario?
Once in a generation?
Generation, yeah. I wish we could have gotten him. See, KD, that would have been a wow.
Yeah, but then at that point, are you willing to give up Bam? Because more than likely, it's either Bam or Jimmy you're giving up there. Which one are you giving up?
I was hoping that we'd bring him on and leave Bam and Jimmy here.
So what? You can't give up Hero because the contracts, it can't work because they already traded for a guy on the rookie maximum extension. You can have two guys on the rookie maximum extension, but you can only trade for one and you have to sign the other one like from your developmental system of drafting him. So they couldn't trade for Tyler. Who else do you think they would have taken? It's either Bam or Jimmy.
Yeah, that's true.
There's no one else. And the Heat don't have the picks where they could offer 4 first-round picks or 5 first-round picks in essence.
Look, the bottom line is we need to be, you know, if you're going to get these kind of players, you need to build a team around them, you know. And again, you know, I think Jimmy is fantastic. And I think that if we would have our players that were healthier, I think, you know, we'd be talking another talk here.
But so then we will be talking that talk in a week's time. You're saying that we'll be a championship contender in a week when those guys get healthy. Because supposedly Duncan should be back within the month. So should Yurtsevin. So should Oladipo. That's the rumor around town right now.
Well, I mean, Yurtsevin is a rookie, so to speak. You know, he's
already like a second or third year guy.
Yeah, but you know, really, has he played that much? Does he have that much experience? Has he meshed that well? He's been out all this time, you know. So I don't know. You know, I think again, he's a 7-plus footer. I think he's 7.
I think he's seven feet. I don't know.
But I mean, he has a presence. He has a lot of potential. A lot of potential. If he's trained well, if he works hard, if he's able to work with his team and practice with his team, I think he has a lot of potential. But he's been out. He's been out so long. And, you know, you never know when you're injured and when you have surgery how you come back.
Very true. And, you know, at the end of the day, this trade deadline was crazy. There was at least, I want to say, somewhere in the range of like 15, 20 trades. So we're not going to go over all of them, you know. But I think we should touch on one more, which is insignificant to the general scheme of things. But the fact that Davon Reed got traded to the Los Angeles Lakers, and that's a former UM guy, to play with another former UM guy in Lonnie Walker IV. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know, just something cool to point out there for UM guys getting to play with LeBron and now D'Angelo Russell and Anthony Davis. We didn't even touch on the D'Angelo Russell trade. Do you want to touch on that or skip on it?
No, you can touch on it a little bit.
It's pretty much Russell Westbrook didn't work, so he went... LeBron went and got another point guard. So we'll see if that works. The Heat were interested in him, supposedly. Seems like it didn't materialize.
Absolutely didn't materialize. But anyways, let's not give up hope. I think that Pat Riley and the organization are still, you know, everyone says, oh, he's sleeping. I don't think he's sleeping. You know, I don't know what they have up their sleeves. I know that they know what they're doing. And I think we'll be surprised, positively surprised, when he makes a move.
Well, at the end of the day, it's over. There's no more moves to be made in that terms of trading. So we'll see. He has the buyout market now to get one player.
Right.
And we'll see, I guess, in a year if Jimmy Butler's still happy to be here. Because as much as he's building a coffee brand on the side here in Miami, I don't think he wants to be building a coffee brand on a losing team.
That's true.
Because at the end of the day, his brand doesn't go up. His big face coffee doesn't get the extra promotion it got in the bubble without the team going to the finals.
Absolutely.
So at the end of the day, we're going to end the Heat conversation there and shift gears to UM versus Duke. Monster win, 20-plus point win by the University of Miami. Did you end up watching that game? I went to the game. Did you end up watching it or not?
Yeah, really? It was great. I loved it. Fantastic. Larranaga's really... really stepped up, and he's doing an incredible, amazing job with the team.
Yeah, now the University of Miami is ranked, I believe it's 19 right now. I'll look that up to give a more updated thing.
And talk to me, they've had how many wins here?
I think it's 13 straight wins tonight.
Wow.
Tonight, meaning Saturday, they are going to defend home court once again as they go up against the 3-21 Louisville Cardinals. So hopefully Louisville won't give us any issues. But, you know, at the end of the day, we have lost to worse teams, so... But right now, Miami's ranked number 19 in the nation. They beat Duke 81-59. No, it is not the Duke with Coach K. It's not the same Duke, but they're still 17-7. Miami's 19-5. It's not. They're
not the same Duke, but they beat us.
They did beat us last 2 weeks ago, maybe,
right.
Like by 2 points at their home.
At their home,
and we beat them 81-59. It's a big difference. Right. And in the first half, it was 40-26. So, and Miami again outscored them in the second half, 41-33.
Look, Larranaga's done a great job recruiting. Larranaga's done a great
job. Yeah, Norchad Omir, number 15.
Right.
17-10. We can also talk about Jordan Miller, the senior guard. 16 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists. They killed it.
It's good coaching. It's good training. I think they got the culture back. You know, not that they ever lost it, but, you know, they never really had it.
Basketball's never really had an identity at the school. It's always been a football school, and now it's a basketball school.
Yeah, definitely.
Larranaga's taken the fact that Cristobal and company can't figure it out, or Cristobal Diaz, whoever else was before, Mark Richt, no one's been able to figure it out the last 20 years, and Larranaga said, yep, I'm going to take that and make it my thing, that we're a basketball school now.
I don't think that, you know, I think you're being a little bit too hard on Richt and everybody
else. Oh, Richt did it for 1 year, and then the next year they failed. And even in that 1 year, they failed because they didn't win a bowl game. They didn't go make it to the playoffs, and they lost the most important game, which was against Pitt, which was an unranked team, as we were the number two team in the nation.
But they also had other issues that they were dealing with.
You know, not that year.
NAA, no, what was it?
That year, that stuff was already gone. Oh. Of the golden era, that was like, yeah, sure, they were maybe dealing with like fines and stuff, right. But not anything that would affect the team losing like that. Because they were the number two team in the nation, and then they lost to an unranked team, which will drop them to like fifth or sixth in the nation, losing out in the playoff.
Listen, the bottom line is, again, I'm going back. If we're going to switch back to the football now, and we're going to switch to the Canes, my thought process is we got to give the coach time.
Well,
the recruits are coming in.
At the end of the day, that wasn't what we were switching to. Right. It was more just the conversation on the fact that we are a basketball school now and no longer a football school.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. That changes. That goes 1 year in, 1 year out. It doesn't matter. The bottom line.
I don't know. Larry Naga's been doing it consistently for the last like.
And you know what? There's no reason we can't be a basketball and football school.
Not when your football team's only winning 5 games a season.
Well, let's give them a chance. Let's give Cristobal a chance. Let's give let's give an opportunity.
Well, look,
the guy just started here. Come on, guys.
The guy just started here, but he lost. His offensive coordinator stunk, and they had to get rid of him. And now their defensive coordinator left to Alabama. Don't get me wrong. Anybody would prefer to go to Alabama over Miami. But
listen, we have to go through some growing pains.
Again, losing both coordinators?
Well, you know what? I look at that as an opportunity. I look at that as an opportunity for him to really get his people in here and really work the way he wants to work.
Well, it seems like those were his people because he brought them in. Yeah. But at the end of the day, it is what it is. We'll talk about Canes football when we get closer to that season. And we can celebrate the fact that Jim Larrañaga and the UM basketball team defeated Duke, which is something I never thought I would see in my lifetime at home. But
that was
great. Well, no, we've seen it in my lifetime, but you get what I'm saying. Like, I never thought I would see it as a student there and be able to celebrate it. And, you know, yeah, with all that being said, I think it's time for our first break. And we're back to talk about the Super Bowl and the NFL, something we completely forgot to talk about. Zach Thomas is now a Hall of Famer. Congratulations to him. There, I'll put on the clap for that one.
Well deserved, well deserved.
It's been way too long.
Yeah, I used to see him play. You know, I was there watching him play, and he was fantastic then. And it's been a long time, well deserved. I'm glad.
Long time coming.
Yep.
Over a decade, I'd say.
Congratulations. I don't know why it doesn't matter why. The bottom line
is, it's happening.
It's happening now.
And hopefully this year, maybe we'll go to Kenan and watch him get inducted.
I think that would be a great idea. Congratulations, Zach Thomas.
The induction is in August, so we'll see. Maybe we'll pencil that in to see if we make our way over to Canton, Ohio. Who would have thought we were going to Ohio this year?
Love it.
Anyways, and now the Super Bowl. We have the Philadelphia Eagles going up against the Kansas City Chiefs. Of course, pretty simple. You know, Kansas City, been here for years. I think you know their team pretty well. Probably don't know that well Philadelphia since they've changed since the last time they came over. But, you know, Kansas City has Patrick Mahomes. They have Travis Kelce. They still have Andy Reid as their head coach. This is a pretty cool Super Bowl for Andy Reid because he gets to go against the former team that dumped him after they thought he would never make it to the Super Bowl, and now he's already won one,
right?
Lost one, and now is back again for a third time.
He's been there twice already. Now
he's been there twice, and now Philadelphia would have been there twice since they've left him. Philadelphia, in the same time that the Dolphins haven't won a playoff game in 20 years, Philadelphia, well, let's even go to 10 years. Let's just go to 10 years. The last 10 years, Philadelphia sucked, were mediocre, fired their coach, came back, sucked for like 3 years. I don't fully remember the story, but they won in like 2017. They beat Tom Brady. You remember that Super Bowl with the Philly special. Then they choose to blow it up for whatever reason and come back within 5 years. The whole Tua timeline that we're still dealing with, that the Dolphins still haven't won a playoff game, they're already back in the Super Bowl. And that gets the question, which we won't talk about today. We'll talk about eventually when we get bored in the off season. There's nothing else to talk about. But is Chris Greer really the guy? If another guy has done it better than him,
we'll circle back on that after the Super Bowl.
All right. Well, talking about the Philadelphia Eagles, you have of course Jalen Hurts, the quarterback, and we can talk about Jason Kelce, which I know he's an offensive lineman, but Travis, his brother. This is the first ever time brother versus brother. We had a brother versus brother coach before.
Right.
We've never had
the
Harbaughs, but we've never had brother versus brother players. So that's ultimate bragging rights right there.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting.
They have a podcast about being brothers. And
really?
Yeah, you know, they've been talking about it this entire week. And it's
wow,
the Kelce Bowl. People want their mom to do the coin toss. They have they didn't start it. It was like people,
right.
Chiefs and Eagles fans have started and got over 30,000 signatures to have her do the coin toss. And she says there's a lot more important people who should probably do the coin toss than I should. And that just makes people want her to be the coin toss person more.
More, right.
Because exactly. She just seems like an incredible person.
Yeah.
But ultimately, who do you have Sunday, tomorrow, big game?
Still thinking about it. Still thinking about
it. Nah, come on. Just
what are the odds?
I
know what the odds
no.
are?
No.
Well, I don't know. But the bottom line is, I can tell you guys this. I heard $7 million for a 30-second commercial. And people, you know, there's been studies on this, that people are just as excited to watch a game as they are to watch a commercial. Can you believe that?
Yeah, and but that's been fact for years. A long time. Yeah, that's been.
But I mean, they've done it again. I heard about this yesterday. Apparently, that's why they're charging $7 million for 30 seconds. I mean, it's unbelievable.
No, yeah. It's a big industry, yeah. And there's a lot to be done. Also, in the halftime show, we have Rihanna performing tomorrow. Not really the biggest Rihanna fan out here. I don't think you even know who Rihanna is.
Yeah, I know who Rihanna is. But,
you know, ultimately, Super Bowl halftime show is always fun. And sure hopefully she sings Umbrella.
Yeah, it's going to be a great production. It's going to be a great show, you know. It's not going to be like The Weeknd, or maybe it is. Maybe she's putting $7 or $8 million of her own money to make it.
Yeah, I don't know. Wow. I feel like The Weeknd is like the first person to ever like openly talk about it, but I'm sure a bunch of artists have put millions of dollars right. on their thing, because at the end of the day, it's a free Super Bowl ad.
Oh my God, yeah.
You know, and people are more excited about the halftime show than they are the actual Super Bowl.
Well, that's what I'm saying, that between the halftime show and the commercials and stuff like that. Oh, who's playing again? Oh, okay.
Philadelphia.
Philadelphia and
Kansas? Where's Kansas?
I think, you know, I'll go with Kansas.
Shout out Lawrence on that one of Kansas. But, you know, you're going to go with Kansas City?
I'll go with Kansas City.
Yeah, I think the reigning MVP, Patrick Mahomes, we should talk about that too. Patrick Mahomes won MVP.
How's his ankle doing, by the way?
I don't know. He's walking around with no limp or anything, so I think he's fine.
You know, that would also
change it, right. But
if
both quarterbacks are hurt. Jalen Hurts, leading into the playoffs, also missed significant, like, I think it was like 3 weeks, which is why he didn't end up winning MVP. But,
oh, wow.
Well, you know,
that's right.
And look, let's talk about quickly, talking about NFL awards. The Jets, both of their rookies, Sauce Gardner, and I can't remember the other guy's name because I don't care that much about the Jets, if we're being honest. You know, J-E-T-S, sucks type life I live here. But they both won Rookie of the Year.
Wow.
The Jets have so we have something to worry about over there in New York. New Jersey, I don't even know. You know, they play in Heath Rutherford, so not even New York. But you know, that's more shade to throw at another time. And I'm trying to think anything else more important that happened in the Offensive Player of the Year was Justin Jefferson. Defensive Player of the Year, Nick Bosa. I don't think you have much to talk about there other than maybe the fact that Tyreek Hill should have won Offensive Player of the Year.
That's true. Bosa's very good. You know?
Yeah, on the defensive side, yeah Bosa, yeah. On. That's not even a debate.
Right.
Even though Christian Wilkins, you know, I'll die on that one that he should have been an All-Pro, but that's another story for another time. Not the Defensive Player of the Year, but I'll die on the throne that he should have been an All-Pro, but and a Pro Bowler, but that's another story for another time. We could talk about our Pro Bowlers real quick. Xavier Howard, Tyreek Hill, Bradley Chubb, and God, Armstead. All four of them Pro Bowlers representing the Dolphins.
Yeah, it's a lot to be said about the Dolphins.
Yeah, they've gone from zero Pro Bowlers now to four.
So, I mean,
and two of them were
going back to your comment before about Greer, is he that bad?
Well, all three of the Pro Bowlers were acquired this year, so it's like you haven't built any of them.
But he's moving in the right direction, acquiring them.
Yeah, you'd hope so, but what did that get you? How many playoff wins did you have in the last 20 years? Donut.
Well, let's see.
Well, we'll get into a more Dolphins specific episode eventually.
Now we have McDaniel. You know, he was part of getting McDaniel here. He was part of, you know, getting that whole
Let's see how
culture.
His trade goes. Let's see how his trade goes. How this draft goes. My bad, not trade.
And let's see also how Tua recovers. If he recovers.
Tua's supposedly doing judo to learn how to fall better, to try to prevent head injuries. So
fantastic.
He's taking the right steps. He's doing Super Bowl media. And he's making fun of himself. He's like joining in the conversation of people like saying that he can't throw a deep ball. Or he can't do anything. So he's ready. You could tell that he's ready to silence all the haters. So let's hope this year he's able to stay healthy. And maybe, just maybe, we'll be booking some tickets to where's the next Super Bowl? Let's see. Talk about something. I don't know.
Well,
I look up where
the
next
meantime,
Super Bowl is.
I'm excited for the game tomorrow. I'm excited to, like everybody else, I'm excited to see the halftime. I'm excited to see the commercials. And I'm excited to see these two teams go at each other. I mean, I think it's going to
be. Oh, the Super Bowl is going to be in Las Vegas.
Woo-hoo.
Maybe we'll be booking our flights to Las Vegas, Nevada. Yep. February 10th, so not on your birthday this year. Happy birthday to you, by the way.
Hey, thanks. And maybe the Dolphins will be in Las Vegas.
February 10th, so we'll give you a nice little early birthday present.
I like it.
But I think with all that being said, I think we I've covered everything. Anything else you want to add on about any of the topics we talked about today?
Just looking forward to seeing the game tomorrow and being back to talking about all the other activities and sporting activities that are taking place. And I only hear Miami, look, but throughout the country.
We have Formula One starting in March.
Miami Gardens?
Well, no. They don't start in Miami Gardens.
Well, that's
they,
right.
They
no,
go
no,
in, right, in May. Right, I'm sorry. You know, we have the Miami, tennis, the Miami Open coming. We have the Heat, the last final push to the playoffs. Hopefully we'll get an interview or two in between. And what else do we have? We have the Dolphins offseason coming up very soon. In April's the draft, I think. April, May, somewhere around there. The draft, very important time of the year. And then I think that pretty much covers it all. You know, there's baseball in there and the hockey.
Yeah, and we can talk a little bit about the
We have March Madness, which it seems like is going to be a big deal for UM basketball.
Right.
We'll see. Last year they made it to the Elite Eight. Maybe this year they'll push further. Maybe this year they'll take a step back.
And maybe this year we'll go a little bit to the baseball games, whether it's to Marlins, whether it's to you.
I hear the milkshakes are amazing at UM baseball. So I think we definitely need to check them out. But with all that being said, thank you so much for listening to this episode of Dak and Rick's Pod. Hopefully you guys like the new little bit of longer format of more in-depth conversation than what we used to do. But if not, let us know so we go back to the way things were before. But I personally like it a little bit more. And with all that being said, be sure to rate the podcast 5 stars on any podcast provider. Be sure to follow us at Dak and Rick's Pod. Be sure to follow me personally at Dak25 underscore. You're not on social media, so you can follow him at R Cooper Law. I'm pretty sure that's your no, he doesn't even know. Okay. Anyways, our social media guru over here doesn't even know his own social media. We'll need to work on that. But with all that being said, thank you so much for listening, and we will see you guys in the next one.